Welcome to the Full Frontal Living Podcast. I'm Lisa Carpenter, master life coach to driven, ambitious humans who want more out of life without having to sacrifice themselves to achieve it. I'll share how it's possible to slow down, take better care of yourself, find more peace and ease, create sustainable energy, stop procrastination and overwhelm, and fall in love with your life, your business, and your body. This podcast is for you if you're ready to learn what it takes to thrive as a high performer, do less but achieve more, make you and your well-being a top priority, and create your extraordinary life. I'm so glad you're here. If you struggle with overwhelm, today is an episode you do not want to miss. I'm going to be speaking with a former client, Stacy, about how she went from being overwhelmed to completely rocking out her career and her family life, knowing exactly what she wants and needs to thrive, and just crushing life. And that's available to you too. So sit back, take a listen, and enjoy. Hey, listeners, thanks for being here with me today. I'm so excited to share this guest with you because, as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I only bring on people that are really important to me, that have made an impact in my life, clients that I've worked with, because I'm really discerning about who I share with my audience. It's just the type of podcast that this is. So today I am so excited to have Stacy with me today. Stacy, how long did we work together for?
I think we worked together for just about a year, maybe like a hair over a year, although it felt like 2 months.
I know, it goes by really, really fast. It's even for me as coach, I'm like, what? How has it been so long? Because it feels like so short. And you were such a pleasure to work with, and you had such amazing results, and you navigated so many different things in your life. So we're going to dive into a whole bunch of kind of what transpired during your coaching time and the benefits that you got out of coaching, but I would love for you to introduce yourself to the audience so they understand who you are, how you show up in the world, how you support other people, and then we'll dive in.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for having me. And again, my name is Stacy Graham, and I am a mother of two awesome daughters, Kylie and Taylor, who are 7 and 4, and they are just absolutely a blast to play with. One of the things that I try to make a part of my daily life is to make time for play. And that's one of those things that I've really tried to dial in over the years and just to really be in the moment with my kids. Besides the two of them, I'm married to my amazing husband, Brent, and we live over here in Southern California. I work in the healthcare industry. And it was one of those things that I did not ever know that I was going to be in healthcare. And just by kind of a series of stepping through doors as they open and kind of being courageous over my career, I landed myself in healthcare about 7 years ago. And right now I'm working at a hospital as the executive director of operations, which is basically everything non-nursing reports up to me. So it's a really fun role. It's crazy. It's fun. I have amazing leaders and I'm just really enjoying myself these days.
Fun role and massive responsibility.
Yes, both.
Massive responsibility. And because you've been in healthcare for seven years now, you had to ride through the COVID wave, which must have been pretty intense being in healthcare. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that impacted you as an individual?
Yeah, absolutely. So when this is my third role with the health system I'm in right now. And just prior to this role, I was in supply chain. And so I was in a supply chain role supporting 6 hospitals when the pandemic hit. And at that point, when the pandemic hit, my girls were 1 and 4. And I remember being asked, I remember it was Thursday, March 12th, 2020. And I remember being asked to participate in a mock incident command center to prepare for this whole COVID thing, whatever that meant at that point. A little bit of a mystery at that point. And I remember experiencing this incident command center, walking out of kind of a half day of preparation and going, oh my God, they all know something I don't know. And after going to that mock incident command center exercise, I remember coming home to my husband after we put the kids down that night. And I said, hey, I'm being asked to step into a role that's going to be extremely demanding, I think. I don't know exactly what this COVID thing is, but I get a really eerie sense it's going to be big and it's going to take a lot of my time. Are you okay with me doing this? Because basically at that point with our 1 and 4 year old, it kind of meant him taking on a huge bulk of the parenting.
And he's also an entrepreneur.
He is. He's an entrepreneur and has his own business. And, you know, the pandemic at that point was very unknown how it was going to impact him too. And so it was a lot of trust, a lot of openness we needed to have with each other. And I remember him going, okay, we'll figure it out. And the next 6 months, I would say were probably the most stressful 6 months of my life. While a lot of people were baking sourdough loaves in their homes and waving at each other from across the street, I was in my home office working, you know, 80, 90, 100 hour weeks, trying to figure out getting PPE for all of our hospitals in the area. And so it was a very stressful time, but it was also one of those moments where after all was said and done and things started kind of calming down from this crazy adrenaline high, that was also a time in my life where I had some major reflection and went, I'm never doing that again. I am never getting to that point where my body, my mind, everything about me is so stressed out and about to explode mentally, physically. I was so depleted. And I just vowed that, you know, even though I don't have any regrets doing the role that I did, and I do feel like I was called to show up in the way I showed up, but I also know that it's something that I wouldn't ever do again. I wouldn't let myself get to that point because of the impact on my health, my well-being, and those around me.
Now, was that the time that you kind of started down the rabbit hole of personal development? Because I know you've been in personal development for a long time. It plays into how you lead your leaders. But was the, you know, coming out the backside of that, the thing that really sparked things need to change for me?
Yeah, it was. So I had worked with coaches prior to the pandemic too. So I had already started dabbling in some of that work prior. I had been told about Jim Fortin's program right before the pandemic, I believe. And, you know, after the pandemic kind of calmed down, I went, okay, I think it's time now. You know, things are calming down to the point where I feel like I have the capability to prioritize myself, you know, and I felt like up until that point, I was just giving my all to what I chose, you know, to do at that point. So yeah, it was coming off the back end of that I did start.
So for anybody listening, Jim Fortin is one of my mentors. I coach inside of his program, the Transformational Coaching Program. We shorten and call it TCP. And that is originally where Stacy and I connected because I'm one of the coaches in there and she was one of the students. So talk me through then, coming through TCP, what made you decide that you needed to move into more one-to-one coaching on top of the work you had already done? I'm super curious to know.
Yeah, so I would say my first round of TCP, when I was learning all of these really powerful concepts, the bulk of what I learned in that program was pretty new to me. And to me, I walked out of the 14 weeks or so of that program and felt completely fire hosed. And it was a lot of material, but I knew that it was extremely powerful. And I knew that if I learned it and really started not just, you know, checking the box on doing homework or reading articles, but if I really started applying it, I knew it would change my life. And so at that point, I, you know, without hesitation, signed up for a second round to go through it again, because I'm like, okay, I got a flavor for it. But at that point, after the first, you know, round or so, I was just so overwhelmed with like my head was just spinning. And so I kind of wanted to dive deeper and really take the opportunity to get further into understanding and applying the concepts now that I knew how impactful it could be.
Right. And this is true for a lot of personal development and self-development. When you first start diving into it, it feels like a lot because you're bumping up against so many things that you'd never even considered. At least for me, I was like, what? Like there were so many concepts that it was so challenging for me to wrap my brain around and settle into it. Because like you, I'm very much a doer, like show me what to do so I can tick the box and move forward. And personal development doesn't really roll that way. You actually have to go out and apply and embody these new ways of being and these new perspectives of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was finishing my second round, I actually got to an interesting crossroads because during the second round was when I really started exploring what it would look like for me to finally officially start my own business. And, you know, I'd done consulting and coaching on the side for years and years. And it was one of those things where I had been dabbling with, oh, one day I'll do this, you know, kind of thing. And I was on a hot seat with Jim Fortin, and he basically, you know, asked me the question, you know, I was at the question I had posed him was around commitments. And what the question that he asked back to me is he asked me, are you more committed to your fear or are you more committed to helping the people that you're here to serve? And so it was one of those like mind-blowing moments where I went, oh my gosh, that's crazy. No, I am not more committed to my fear, and gosh darn it, I can do this. And so I ended up putting myself out there, and immediately within a week, I think booked my client list. And had a blast, had some really awesome coaching, consulting that I did with folks, and just had a really, really nice time. And so while I was getting fired up and things were kind of exploding at that point, I also simultaneously, I think within like a few weeks of all this kind of really blowing up, I also found out about an opportunity in the corporate world. And at that, and it was a very exciting role. And so it was one of those moments where my mind went, well, wait a minute, now I'm jumping into my own business. But then this other thing came up that's really cool too. So what the heck do I do? And so that was kind of at the tail of, you know, the second round of TCP. And it was at that moment where I was like, I really need, if I'm going to try to navigate both of these huge passions and make decisions that align with my values and really what I want out of life and my vision, I really need someone elbow to elbow with me, you know, guiding me and helping me and challenging me to kind of think through things better. And that's when I reached out to you.
Right. I remember you saying that you wanted to make sure that you, they're not your words, I'm going to put words in your mouth, right? But it was like, you didn't ever want to throw yourself under the bus again. You never wanted to go back to that overworked, stressed out, because you had compromised so much of your health, your physical and your emotional well-being. And, you know, because of how I show up inside Jim's program, so I'm all about commitment and personal responsibility, but at the same time, rest and slowing down and not putting too much on your plate and trusting yourself to make better decisions. And I remember when you were offered that position, and it was a real, like, there was a lot of things you had to work through around deciding whether or not that was even going to be a role you wanted to step into, because you were so excited about starting your business as well. So how did you make that decision?
Well, it all really boiled down to values. Mm-hmm. And for me, it really forced me to sit down and reflect on, are these my values because being a mom or a wife or any of the other roles I play, I feel like these should be my values? Or are they my values because me, Stacy, as, you know, a being, like, this is what I truly want as, you know, my own self without any other influences. And so I think I had to get really honest with myself with what I wanted. And really, once I understood what my values were, and I was very clear on them being my values, not anyone else's values, then that really helped guide me on how to make this decision, because ultimately I wanted to make choices that honored my values, because I've made choices in the past that don't, and then I end up resenting the choices I've made.
So this was a really interesting tug of war that you had to navigate, because family is one of your number one values, if not your number one value. And you have this desire, ambition, drive to also have an impact as a leader in teaching the concepts that you teach. And I watched you, and we worked through what it looked like to still show up as a great mom, but without these expectations you'd put on yourself about what that was supposed to look like. And I think so many professional women really struggle with this. Well, if I'm going to be a career woman, then I don't get to be a good mom. And we have to redefine, like, what is being a good mom, because it doesn't necessarily mean volume of time. I always look at it as of depth of time, because you had to organize, you know, people to watch the girls for you, and how you were going to organize your time with Brent, and how you're going to make sure you still had quality time with them. We had to talk about boundaries and knowing that you could go into this new role and say to your potential new boss, like, I'm here for this, but here are the boundaries that I'm going to be working within. And so many women don't even do that. They're like, okay, if this is a job, this is what I have to do. And then they work twice as hard. So I would love for you to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So just kind of going off of the boundaries thread, I mean, that is something where, and I've known my boss for a while now. I worked with him in my prior role, so I've known him for about 7 years. And I remember when I was going through the process of, you know, discerning with this role, I did come up with kind of what good would look like for me, right? Based on my balancing all the different priorities in my life, like with my kids, with my husband, with myself, all of that. And so I came up with my needs, if I were to take on this role, from a boundary perspective around timing and, you know, just different things around how on call I would be, all of those types of things. And so what I did is I ended up just having a very frank dialogue with my boss, and, you know, just said, here's where I'm coming from. You know, I've got little kids. If anything, it's only going to get busier with sports and activities. And I said, here's what I can commit to. But I also wanted to be super respectful of where he's coming from. And so I asked him the question, you know, is this something that's going to meet your needs? Because at the same time, I don't want to draw a hard line and be an asshole and be like, hey, well, this is what I'm going to do. Take it or leave it. Bye. So I wanted to just be super honest with him and say, like, this is what I can do. Is this going to meet the needs that you have for this role too? Because I didn't want to go into this having these unclear expectations and then have all this resentment build on both sides. So I just decided I'd much rather be super clear so that he's on the same page as I am about what I can do, what I can't do, because it just makes communication expectations so much easier when you start off like that.
And this was a big deal for you, because I remember at the time you were still working through being able to clearly communicate what it is you wanted and needed, not making up interpretations about how that other person would receive it, right? Making stories up about what might they think about you if you do this, because healthcare, you and I have talked about this, it's a place where everybody spends all their time taking care of everybody else.
Yes.
And very little time taking care of themselves, which is why so many people within our healthcare industries, both here in Canada and in the US, end up in this place of burnout, because this concept around boundaries and caring for yourself is like foreign. You're like, you're like an anomaly in the healthcare system, which is why it's so great. But it was really powerful to witness you really learning what it meant to just speak clearly about what it is you wanted and needed, even though you knew this isn't how most people within that healthcare system operate.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes I do still feel like a black sheep at times in healthcare, because I really do think strongly that you can lead people effectively without burning out. And I think a lot of leaders tend to assume that being a leader means you're stressed out beyond belief and you work insane hours and you're always exhausted. And I don't think that needs to be true. And so, you know, one
was
of the
there a time was there a time though that you did believe that, especially as a woman?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's also a lot to be said for, you know, being able to stand in your power with respect to your boundaries. And if, you know, honestly, there's sometimes where I am the first person on the executive team to walk out of the hallway at the end of the day. And is it uncomfortable? Yeah, it sometimes is. But at the end of the day, you know, I have set those boundaries and I have those commitments to my kids and getting home for my nanny that I committed to her. I'd be home at a certain time, you know, so there is that discomfort sometimes, but I think that's where, you know, you have to just stand in your own power and trust yourself and know that, yep, there might be other people making interpretations about my behavior, but that's about them. That's not about me. Right. And I know what I signed up for.
And I think what you said about values is so important, because when you really know what your values are, it makes it so much easier to set boundaries and to decide what it is you want and need, because they have to line up with your values. And so many people don't know what they value in this world. Or like you said, they think they value this, but their actions don't actually line up with them saying that they truly value it. That was a lot of word salad there, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I do get what you're saying. And, you know, and I make it a point to tell my direct reports, my leaders that I'm blessed to work with, what my values are, because I want them to know me and I want them to understand kind of what makes me tick and why I make the decisions that I make. You know, I'm always encouraging my folks to take care of themselves. You know, when you walk into my office, there's a big sign up that says you can't pour from an empty cup. And, you know, all of my leaders know that, you know, while I do work my butt off and I'm very effective and efficient in my role, I do also take my well-being as my number one priority. And I expect that they take care of themselves too. And when they're drained and they're tired, that they take the time they need to make so that they can show up as, you know, the leaders they need to be.
Right. And I think it's important that people know that making yourself a priority doesn't necessarily, like, it's not easy.
No.
You know, I remember when we started working together, like, rest was something you were really struggling with, that slowing down and really knowing what you needed to get done and what you could let go of. So can you talk a little bit about what that journey has been like for you in terms of slowing down?
Yeah. I mean, I think with respect to rest, there's a couple things. I think one, there was certainly an element of people pleasing. So I think my yeses weren't always true yeses. And I probably should have said no more often than I used to say no.
Yeah.
So I think that's one piece with respect to rest, is I try to be very intentional with what I commit to these days. Because, you know, as we all know, there's only so many hours in the day. So I think, you know, that's a piece where that has been a big change, is me just doing less.
Right. Because your energy is your number one asset.
Right. Right.
Your well-being determines how well you'll be able to show up for others. And like you said, if you're trying to pour from an empty cup, you can't really give 100% to anything in your life. Mm-hmm. Kind of a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, and everybody loses out, which leads me then to this question around. So you heard Stacey say she wants to start this business. She has these coaching consulting clients. She gets offered this role you wanted so badly and still do, to have a massive impact with leaders in this world. And there was this story that you were holding on to, that in order to do that, you had to be in business for yourself. And that led to a really big realization around what was costing your energy. So let's talk a little bit about what needed to happen and how we put this in perspective for you so you could find some freedom.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I had no idea the mental toll that it was having on me to keep thinking about, when am I going to start working with my waitlist of clients? When am I going to start, you know, doing more consulting and speaking and all of that? Because when I started this role, when I did commit to taking this, I also had in the back of my mind that, oh, I'm just going to do both. But I also knew that my top value, one of my top values, is my well-being. So it's a little conflicting to have, you know, a full-time job that I'm committed to and I'm invested in, and I knew I was going to put, you know, my full effort in, and also say I'm going to do this whole other business, because that conflicts a little bit with that top value. And so, you know, I remember when you were telling me that it was taking up so much, you know, mental capacity for me. And I didn't really understand what you meant until we had one of our coaching sessions and you made the comment, well, I don't remember exactly how you said it, but it was along the lines of decide not to decide. And because I was in this mindset of like, well, if I'm going to do it, I have to do it now and I have to do it continuously and I can't stop because that's failure. And I think it wasn't until, you know, you kind of opened that lens of, well, just because you pause for right now doesn't mean you're failing at your business or you're giving up or anything. It's just you're choosing to prioritize what you want to prioritize because you know you're making an impact this other way right now. And that was just mind-blowing when you made me kind of think through it that way.
This decision that you can decide to not make a decision, we needed to be able to put a pin in it and not give it any meaning. So it was like, you can decide to not do this right now. It doesn't mean you failed. It doesn't mean you're never going to do it. It just means you're giving yourself a clear decision that you're no longer putting any energy or attention on it for now. And I even had you bookmark it in your calendar. I think we did 12 months, right? Like 12 months from now, you can have a reminder. You can look at this and say, how do I feel about this now? Do I have the energetic capacity for this? Do I have the time, to the space? Do I even still want this? But what I see so many women getting caught in is they want all the things. They want to do all the things and they're excited and passionate about them, but they don't realize how much they're pulling them away from the things that are truly important to them. And because you had this story around, like, I want to make an impact, because you were still focusing on not doing this business, you weren't even realizing the depth of the impact that you were making with the people in your immediate circle that you were there to lead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it wasn't until I, you know, put the proverbial pin in it, and that allowed me to go even deeper into my role and be more committed to my leaders and really just fully engage the role I was in. Because honestly, I didn't even realize until I kind of released that mental load that I was kind of holding back in my corporate role. And once I finally released that, it was almost like this huge weight off my shoulders where it was like, oh, awesome. Now I can like 100% commit to this one thing. And it just started feeling so much better and so much easier because I wasn't spending time thinking about like, oh, I need to do this for my business and I need to do that for my business. I was fully all in on this other thing that I committed to.
So for anybody listening, if you're living with a lot of shoulds, I should do this or want to do this, take an inventory and then decide to either delete it, put a pin in it, give yourself a time frame, give it to somebody else, whatever it's going to be, but close the loop on the energy that you're spending on it, because everything about leadership, everything about being able to fulfill those deeper dreams and desires and, you know, that ambition is about minimizing the energy you're spending on things that don't matter or don't need to matter right now. And it's so challenging, right? Because we do want to do all the things. Like I'm even looking at my year and I just had a meeting with my team and I'm like, we're doing this and we're doing this. And I have to quiet the voice that's like, but what about this, this, and this? And I want to do this too. And learning to parent ourselves through that and say, just no, not right now. Like with your girls, right? Yes, you can have that, but not right now. Yep. Talk to me and, you know, talk to me next week or at the end of the month or whatever. So that was pretty amazing when that happened, because that's really when I saw you open up and fully embrace this role you were in, instead of like kind of being half in and half out. So I want to know from you. So one of the other things we had to work on that I thought was really important, and this comes with most of my clients, is this ability to allow themselves to really feel.
Oh, yes.
Right? Like I remember I'd talk to Stacey about vulnerability and she'd be like, ugh, do we have to? Yet to be a great leader, you actually need to know how to identify what it is you're feeling. Embrace those vulnerable moments. Like, you know, I remember you having some of these moments where I get a Voxer from you and you're like, ugh, I can't believe I said that and did that. And we're like, okay, Stacey, nobody's going to die. But I would love to hear from you what that was like for you, learning how to tune more into your feelings, and how, what has changed for you as a leader now that you can identify what you're feeling without giving it any meaning? Yeah. What does that look like for you now?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I would run away from the F word, from feelings, you know, for so long. And it's just like, I'll just ignore this and move on and everything will be lovely until it's not, you know. And I think, you know, even going back to what you were talking about with rest, I think I have just built so much more body awareness of how, you know, different things are feeling in me. Like one of the things, feelings wise, that I didn't even realize I did was I tightened my stomach, right? When I get anxious, and I didn't realize that was something that I even did. But building that awareness of my body and what's physically happening then allows me to pause and go like, oh, this is here. What's this about? And to just sit with it. And to your point, like not make it mean anything, but at the same time, not ignore it. Right. And so one of my like most powerful things I've learned is to actually acknowledge, you know, to sit with it, to acknowledge the physical sensations that I have in my body and be able to understand what they are, what emotions they might be tied to, sit with it for a minute and then move on. And it's that ability that I've been able to build of building that, you know, that physical sensation awareness that I'm able to process now these feelings and just accept that, yep, I have feelings and I react to things in my world, you know, and be able to ask myself like where certain things are coming from too, because then I can change the story if I have, you know, negative stories about what might be happening around me.
Right. And this is why it's so important for women to have a healthy relationship with their physical bodies, which many women don't. You and I are both very athletic, but even then you were still wanting to live from the neck up. And when you tune into your body is always going to give you sensations. But when you're staying busy all the time and in numbing behaviors, you don't actually pay attention to what you're feeling, that tightness in your throat or the tightness in your chest or the knots in your stomach or that like, oh, that feeling when the shame washes over you. Like I can identify that. I can feel it even thinking about it. But when you can identify that, as you said, you can acknowledge it. You can ask like, what is this trying to tell me? What is the story I need to let go of? Or how do I just move through it? And then you can move on, where so many people get trapped in their emotions without even realizing they're trapped in their emotions because they immediately go to reactive behaviors, like reacting, right? Behaving badly, being passive aggressive, people pleasing, over caretaking, right? All of these behaviors come up for us. So I would love to know, what are your kind of red flags, your warning signals that you notice that puts you back in behaviors that are trying to disconnect you from what you're actually feeling?
When I get really busy.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, for me, if I notice that I'm starting to like jump to this and got to do that and check this off my list and got to clean up this and get, you know, just kind of an overall sense of busyness, I've found that that's usually avoidance for me.
Yeah. I was going to say busy and overwhelmed. Those are like the big ones for you to take a step back and say, okay, what's actually going on? So if you're listening, I want you to think about that. When you get into busy and overwhelmed, what might you be avoiding that you're feeling? And if you just sat with that feeling, what would it tell you? And how can you make different decisions? So speaking of feelings, one of the other things that came out of our work together, I want to talk a little bit about you and your husband, because your husband is an amazing guy. And it came up, you know, we did some work around you and your husband. It came up though that I kept listening to you thinking like, I'm not seeing the problem here, Stacey, right? I'm trying to stay objective because listen, there's no such thing as a perfect relationship, right? We're in relation with other humans. They come with their own set of baggage. We sign up to be in relationships with them. That's just the reality of it. You're never going to have a perfect relationship. But I would sit and listen to you and think, like, what is the actual problem here? And we started talking about therapy because at the time you and your hubby were going to therapy. So I want you to share a little bit, because I thought this was such a profound moment for you in your relationship with your husband. And it really changed a lot of things for you. What did you need to let go of in order to create the relationship that you were trying to create?
Yeah. So you're right. So we had been going to therapy, and we'd been going to therapy off and on for the better part of a decade, actually.
Yeah. And I'm a believer in therapy. I want to say that, like, there is a time and a place for therapy. I'm a believer in therapy.
Absolutely. And it was, and very helpful for us many years. But to your point, the place that I was at and where Brent and my relationship had evolved to when I was working with you, it was getting to a point where Brent and I were doing our weekly therapy sessions. And I started getting to, and this kind of goes back to what we were just talking about with awareness around your body and your feelings and stuff. I would start resenting our sessions. So Tuesday evening would be coming up, which was when we had our sessions with our therapist, who's amazing. But I was resenting it. And I was kind of like, what is going on here? And it wasn't until I sat down and really kind of reflected on, you know, the feelings and all that going on inside of me, that I was like, gosh, every week, even if we've had a great week, if Brent and I had an awesome week and there's really, to your point, no issues, I felt like every Tuesday evening, we're bringing up old shit. And I got to the point where I'm like, I feel like we're like digging into like past problems that aren't really here anymore. And I hated it. I hated going into the sessions. I got to the point where I wasn't even really opening up anymore, because I just felt like this weight on me about, like, dang it, we were doing so good. Everything felt fine this week. And then it almost felt like a step backwards, like, oh, like, let's dig up old stories and old issues that weren't even here, you know, and not like I want to sweep anything under the rug, but it also felt like bringing up stuff that just wasn't an issue anymore. And so, you know, when you started just asking me very simple questions around therapy and all that, we got to the point where you helped guide me in making the choice of stopping therapy. And when that topic first came up, it scared the shit out of me. And I think I had always thought of our sessions as a proverbial security blanket. And there was a part of me that was worried that things would go to shit if I didn't do therapy. And I had this story made up in my head around that. And so once I kind of started unfolding, revealing these stories to myself and kind of talking through what would it look like, you know, if we were in therapy, I made the choice to stop, and I did it pretty abruptly. And ended up stopping therapy, and everything was fine. Everything was totally fine. And I couldn't believe like how silly it was that we had spent so many hours, you know, so many months, you know, going to this session where, to your point, like there wasn't really this massive problem to solve. Like there's always issues here and there because that's any relationship, but nothing where we needed to drum up all this old stuff every week.
Right. And this is important because there's a couple things. There's differences between coaching and therapy. Coaching typically is kind of forward facing. We're looking at what's here now and how can we move forward. And therapy often has to, you know, we have to go back into the past to dig up stuff. And again, there's no right or wrong or good or bad here, but we can often get attached to things that are no longer serving who we've become. And you had transformed and changed so much through your work through TCP, through your work with me, yet you were still holding on to this old identity. And then this story of like, if I let this go, everything's going to go to hell. And a big part of this work, and what I love and also hate at the same time, because it means I release clients, My job is to release my clients into a place of being in such a deep trust with themselves that they know, like, oh, if I need my therapist, I can call my therapist. If I need my coach, I can call my coach. But you no longer have to cling to these guardrails like, oh my God, I'm going to go to hell if I let this go, like my life is going to unravel. And this can be the toxic side of self-development, is we forget that self-development is about leading us back to who we are so we can trust ourselves, so we can live our damn lives without feeling like we're broken and need fixing anymore. And it doesn't mean you're not going to have stuff. I still have stuff. But it's stepping into that, like, oh my God, I get to just live my life. I get to be happy in my relationship. I get to be happy at my job. I get to be happy how I'm parenting. And if anything comes up, I'm going to be fine. I've got the resources because I'm a smart woman.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, to me, it just all, so much of this boils down to self-trust. And I mean, this is actually the first year in a long time that I don't have a coach. I don't have a group coach and I don't have a therapist. Like, I'm flying solo.
I'm flying so big right now because, like, to me, like, this is what it's about. Because again, you can always reach out for those people. And even I've made changes this year because I'm like, what does this feel like? I want to hear my own voice for a little bit, bringing new voices in. So that's just, it's so, so awesome. Okay. There's so many things I wanted to talk to you about. I'm going to ask you a couple questions about working with me for anybody who's listening and thinking like, is Lisa the right coach for me? What is this about? I would love to know, what was your favorite part of our work together?
My favorite part of our work together was having access to you over Voxer. And in particular, once I really started dialing in what feelings feel like in my body, and I built that awareness around like, oh, I'm feeling something not so rosy. That was so great to be able to whip out my phone and just start processing with you over Voxer and just leave you a message about like, this is what I'm feeling right now. And this is the story I'm making up in my head about this situation, you know, talk through it with me kind of thing. And that was the coolest because you helped me over the year identify different patterns in the stories and interpretations that I would make up. And so it was almost like kind of one by one, we were able to work through these, you know, negative feelings that I would feel. And then you would help me kind of understand, you know, the interpretations that I was making up that were causing me to feel the way I was feeling. So that was by far super powerful.
So Voxer is such an interesting app, right? Because it's like a walkie-talkie app for grownups. If you're like, what the heck is Voxer? And one of the things, because I primarily work with my clients one-to-one, is a very high touch experience. And I know when I was going through my own transformation, one of the things I had to learn was reaching out and allowing myself to be supported. Because often as leaders, and most of my clients are fiercely independent, overly responsible, and it feels really vulnerable and weak. And I'm even going to use the word a little bit like icky and pathetic to have to ask for help. And I had to learn that. And with Voxer, what I want to provide my clients with is learning how to lean into the vulnerability of sharing what's going on for them, because it's so much easier when you can verbally process what's happening in the moment and get that support, because it neutralizes the shame and it allows you to move into that perspective so much more quickly so that you can get better results quickly, right? Like, we had conversations before you would go into meetings, when you came out of meetings, something happened with Brent or the girls. And it was just so cool to see how quickly you were able to shift because of that. And then of course, we also had our formal sessions as well. Voxer is some of, like, I do some of my favorite coaching inside Voxer.
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't really even understand the power of Voxer until I started working with you. You know, I kind of had in my mind, like, oh, I get a once a month call. And that was kind of like, oh, like, it's nice to see you and chat, but I felt like the majority of our conversations happened over Voxer.
Yeah. Little tidbits all along. Right. And then that session, we would just kind of focus on like what's here today, but life is happening every single day. So I wanted to talk a little bit as well about toxic bonding.
Yes.
Toxic bonding, because I see so many women get into this. And the reason that I'm bringing it up is because it's so important, the circles that you put yourself in and what you engage in and what you choose to not engage in. And I would love for you to share the experience of what toxic bonding is, how it's impacted you in the past, and how you're keeping yourself out of that behavior in your leadership role now.
Yeah. So to me, I would, first of all, I guess, define toxic bonding for me as, you know, getting with a group of folks who are complaining about something and everyone just kind of piles in on the complaints, right? And that's how that bond, that camaraderie is made, is everyone complaining about topic X, whatever X is. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, you know, if I kind of look at things from, you know, personal life lens and then a work life lens, in my personal life, I've largely surrounded myself with people who do not engage in toxic bonding. So I'm very grateful for the community, the circle that I do have. And I think, you know, it's challenging in work, and even more so in healthcare in particular, because you see toxic bonding, I think, a lot in healthcare, because healthcare tends to attract the helpers.
Yeah.
Right? You, when most people join healthcare because they love helping people and they really care about helping people. And when things get in their way, that is very frustrating to most healthcare folks. And so what you end up with sometimes is, to me, this toxic bonding that sometimes occurs, where it's like things that happen outside of your control from your perception, you know, and everyone's trying to pile on with like, yeah, you know, I'm dealing with this too. And oh yeah, this is crazy. This is terrible. But I also try to intentionally, there's kind of two angles here. One is empathy, right? So I think having empathy and being able to put yourself in someone's shoes, especially in healthcare, is very, very critical. It's a very critical skill set to understand even how to do that and to practice that. But then at the same time, the other lens I would look at toxic bonding through is, what can we do? Mm. Right? So if something did happen and everyone's frustrated about something that may be out of their control, how can we accept where we are right now? And how can we be empowered to make the choices that'll best serve the folks around us, the people we're serving? And so sometimes it makes me the black sheep to not engage in some toxic bonding that I see sometimes. I'm not going to say it's rampant, but it is something that I think happens a decent amount of time, because it's, you know, it's full of people who care. It's full of people who care so deeply about helping others. And I can just see it on so many people's faces that they just get so frustrated when there's this perception of a barrier that doesn't allow them to help people the way they want to help people.
Right. And toxic bonding, like you said, it shows up everywhere, right? Women will bond over their dislike of their bodies. Women will bond over the struggles they have with parenting, right? Like this wine o'clock culture that we've got going on in the mom community. That's a whole other podcast episode. And what I want everybody to understand is, you have a choice about whether or not you want to engage. Toxic bonding is all about finding a way of belonging and fitting in and connecting. And when you do this work, you are more committed to being connected with yourself and what feels good for you than trying to connect in with other people. And it's not that my clients aren't connected with other people. It's just they're connecting on a much deeper level in a healthy way, not in this like toxic way that isn't real connection, like bitching about other people, complaining about your body, complaining about your kids. That's not real connection. So when we meet people with empathy, like, I get it, I understand, and then be focused on solutions, or how can we feel better, right? How can we take our attention off the problem and doing what we can do for ourselves? And this is why I'm so excited for the leadership role that you're in, because of the impact that you get to make, that you get to show all these leaders that are under you and in this environment where people really are there to care. You get to show them what it looks like to focus on themselves and care for themselves. And in doing so, they'll be better able to care for everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been an amazing journey, just being able to even have that awareness of you know, these different situations coming up around, you know, toxic kind of dialogue and things like that, because that is one thing that, you know, I try to level set with my folks all the time on is, you know, if there's an issue, rather than piling on about how could this happen and, you know, who's to blame and all that. Well, okay, it is what it is. Now let's move forward. And how can we all align towards the same goal and help address whatever it is?
Right. And that's what makes a great leader, right? Like, you don't get into the soup of all of it, but that requires a tremendous amount of work on yourself to not get into the soup of it. And people know, the people who are under you know, that you're not going to be the person that they can just come and complain to. And you're going to be like, yes, let's close the door and have a bitch session here, right? Like, you are there to listen to them, but you're also going to be focused on solution-based because you've done your work. All right. So as we wrap this up, I would love for you to share, you know, is there anything that you want anybody else who's listening, who's resonating with your story and the work that you've gone through? Is there anything that you want them to know about working with me and why that doing this work is so important, like how it will change their life?
It's so important because once you do this work and you start, peeling back these layers of yourself and questioning why you behave the way you behave and what kind of created this version of yourself. Once you kind of strip away these layers and really kind of rediscover your innate you, there's just an overall sense of peace. And that's something that, I mean, I don't know if this is with everyone who does, you know, this kind of work, but for me, that's been my biggest I would say win, and really the biggest thing that I've gotten out of all this transformational work that I've been doing with you and with TCP is just a level of peace and joy and being able to more consistently show up as authentic me without having all the chatter in my head and questioning myself and worried about such and such opinion, you know. It's so much easier to do life once you start doing the work and just truly understanding how many stories and interpretations and all this kind of crazy stuff that you learn about when you do this work, how much you've adopted as true that aren't necessarily true. And so that's something that I've really enjoyed is being able to kind of strip things away, get back to like the innate Stacy that I am and feel that joy and feel that calm and peace more consistently. And I would say that, you know, one of the things that attracted me to working with you the most, Lisa, is, you know, you talked a lot about doing less better, but you also talk a lot about how you enjoy working with really ambitious women. So it's not about taking your foot off the gas, but it's about doing that in an easier way. And in a way that's, you know, more aligned with the fun and the joy and what lights you up. And so still being able to accomplish your goals and all the amazing things that we all have that we want to do in this life. But it's you kind of guiding us along the way into making sure that we're doing that in a healthy way that aligns with what we really want. And so that's, to me, that's been like the biggest benefit of working with you is I don't feel like I had to like sacrifice any of the things that I've been wanting to do, but it's about like looking at the big picture of the choices that I'm making right now, the commitments that I'm making right now, and truly understanding if those are the right things that are going to get me to where I want to be.
Yeah. You can be committed and still rest.
Yes.
It's part of it. It's the both and, right? Like, my people really are like, I don't get this both and, it's this way or this way. And when you really embrace that it gets to be both,
yeah,
and you get to be in the driver's seat of your life, that's when things really change. And you get to live a life, what I'm hearing you say, that is really fulfilling.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I love that. Like, that brings me so much joy. Thank you so much for being here, Stacy. I knew this was going to be an amazing conversation. I'm sure you're going to impact even more people who listen to this, because there are so many women out there that are just working so hard and burning themselves out because they want such great things in life, but they're missing out on the joy and fulfillment in their life. So you're going to give people out there hope that they can also change, right? Because we are not like special snowflakes. We just did the work.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, Lisa. This was really, really fun. Always great to chat with you.
It was great to chat with you again too. Thanks, Stacy. So thank you for tuning in. If this resonated with you, please be sure to share the episode with somebody who may benefit from it. And if you haven't done so yet, please leave a rating and a review. They really help get this podcast into the ears of new listeners. So thanks for being here, and I will catch you on the next episode.
Hold up. Before you go anywhere, let me ask you, have you ever wished you had more than enough time and energy to prioritize yourself? Imagine being able to experience a day where you can be productive without feeling rushed, a day where you can take care of yourself physically, emotionally, and mentally without the guilt or stress of not doing enough. Sounds amazing, right? Now, if you're like most women, you're always busy. In fact, busy probably doesn't even begin to cover it. You're probably exhausted, overwhelmed, and craving a few minutes to yourself, but there's never enough time, is there? Well, what if I told you that it didn't have to be this way? What if I told you that with just a few simple changes, you can make room for everything that matters most to you? That's where the energy audit comes in. In this program, I'll show you how to get more done in less time and spend plenty of time doing what matters most, taking care of and prioritizing yourself and the people you truly care about. Living a full life does not have to be complicated. Imagine feeling peaceful, happy, and in control of your own life. The energy audit will show you how. So before you do anything else, head over to lisacarpenter.ca/energy and get on the wait list. We are opening doors to this phenomenal program very, very soon, and you do not want to miss it.